Almighty God, without whose help labor is useless, without whose light search is vain, we, the unworthy servants here gathered together in their name, do most humbly beseech thee to send them thy heavenly wisdom from above to direct and guide us in all our deliberations and laying aside all private interests, prejudices, and partial affections, the result of all our counsels may be to the glory of thy blessed name.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members, the time is now past 10. I move that SO5 to be suspended to commence the business of the House.
Any seconder?
Mr. Speaker, I so second.
Honorable members, it has been moved and seconded that SO5 to be suspended so that the business of the House may commence, it being past 10. All those in favor say aye. All those against say nay. The ayes have it.
Record of votes and proceedings for Tuesday, 5th September 2017.
Honorable members, the votes and proceedings for Tuesday, 5th September 2017. Page 1, page 2, page 3. Page 4, page 5, and page 6. There be no corrections or amendments. Will somebody move for the adoption of the votes and proceedings for Tuesday, 5th September 2017?
I so move, Mr. Speaker.
Any seconder? Honorable members, it has been moved and seconded that the votes and proceedings for 5th September 2017 be adopted. All those in favor say aye. Those against say nay. The ayes have it.
Record of votes and proceedings for Tuesday, 5th September 2017 has been adopted. Laying of paper. The Attorney General and Minister of Justice.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I'm sorry to inform you that I have neither heard from the Attorney General nor have I seen him.
In that case, the said document cannot be laid. Cannot be laid. So the laying of it is accordingly deferred. Parliament should not be taken for granted. Honorable members, I'm not unaware of the present situation and the circumstances attendant on it. This may well explain, perhaps, why sittings are delayed. But I want to appeal to all honorable members. Perhaps I will say, appeal most honorably to you, honorable members, that we keep to our traditional time of 10. I do understand the situation. I do understand. But let us try to be more responsible, so to speak. I do realize that this time around, we did not go for recess simply because we could not. I hope that is understood. We did not because we could not. and the Honorable Anthu indeed had said that, or had predicted that the way he saw things, he had his doubt whether we would have time for recess this time around. That has happened. So please, let us keep to the time. Yes, answer, okay.
Mr. Speaker, on the issue of 10 a.m., I was chief whip in this house, and one of the lessons that I learned before I became chief whip was to appeal to my colleagues that you be here at 10 a.m. when proceedings had started. If you are not so much interested in the proceedings, you can now quietly go about and take care of your business, but only allow the house to commence, business of the house to commence at 10 a.m. And the other issue is, I see on the other side a lot, my brother, the chief whip, and his deputy, normally say it is now 10:30 or 10:30 or it's past 10 o'clock and all the rest. You don't have to tell the time, because when you say it is now past 10 o'clock, it is embarrassing to the house. Don't announce the time. Just go ahead and say, I move that part to be suspended or whatever for the house, business of the house to commence. But when you announce the time at the time, you are embarrassing the house. I thank you, Mr. Speaker.
And honorable members, the honorable Ansu has just told you that, or he has told you what used to happen when he was chief whip. Let me tell you, honorable members, all of us suffered under Ansu Kakai when he was chief whip. All of us. Even I, as the speaker seated here today, when Ansu Kakai was chief whip, he was very powerful. JB, Ansu Kakai as chief whip. No, the Honorable Bernadette Lahai can testify to that. Honorable Bernadette Lahai, who else? Sidi Tunis, Honorable Brahma Conte. Yes, they can testify to that. Mr. Leader, I take it that before I announce the date of adjournment, I was going to adjourn the House to Thursday, the day after tomorrow. But I understand the SLPP will be having their convention. Well, I don't know whether it is convention or injunction. I don't know. But, wait. So in any case, even if there is no certainty on that, but to be on the safe side, I would not adjourn the house to that date. So, Mr. Leader, I think you have a very important announcement to make for the attention, for the information and attention of members of Parliament.
Exactly so, Mr. Speaker. And with your leave, I want to inform honorable members that we have a very important workshop on Thursday. I'm therefore requesting all.
Sorry, Ellis, the moment you say workshop, I know Parliament having a workshop has its own implications. See, I think it's a meeting, for all I know, not a workshop, unless some kind of transformation has already taken place. But for all I know, it is not a workshop, it's a meeting. So go ahead. Yes, Mr. Leader.
I'm therefore requesting that all honorable members bring their bill entitled the Food and Feed Safety Bill. That is the bill that will be discussed in this meeting exhaustively. I want to inform you that our ambassador to the EU and the consultant have arrived, and they want to give us some further education on the pending bill that we have. We are also taking the liberty of inviting all the necessary stakeholders who are part of that bill to be in attendance on Thursday if we're able to do the meeting. I'm therefore urging and requesting that you please bring your draft bill at 11 a.m. on Thursday. Honorable members, please. Thank you very much. And I'm anticipating your cooperation. Thank you very much, honorable members.
Yes, madam.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I stand on SO 23. Mr. Speaker, honorable Claude Commander, the Chief Whip, and also the one of the Vice Presidents of the Pan-African Parliament Youth Caucus, and myself, the Vice President of the Pan-African Parliament, and a cross-section of the Pan-African parliamentarians from about 12, 15 countries. We are in Brussels from the 4th to the 6th on a study tour to the European Parliament for us to understand how the European Parliament operates. While we were there, Mr. Speaker, we paid a courtesy call to our embassy, Sierra Leone embassy accredited to the Belgian, Kingdom of the Belgium, and we were warmly received by His Excellency, Honorable Ibrahim Sori, and the staff of the embassy. But we had very serious meetings that had to do with the operations and status and the challenges that the embassy is facing. You will agree with me that that embassy is very important because it is an embassy that is accredited to the European Union. And the European Union is one of our partners in development, especially if you look at the EDF, the European Development Fund, that is approved for all ACP countries. We met and we are happy that we are warmly received. Among the challenges that they are currently having that is really affecting how Sierra Leone is represented on the various committees of the European Union, number one is the staffing. They have only, apart from His Excellency, they have only two senior staff, the head of the chancery and the deputy head of the chancery. And because it is the European Union, Sierra Leone sits on many, many important committees that require our staff to sit on those committees, and sometimes the meetings are taken simultaneously. Our participation in those committees, you know, have a lot of technical and financial benefits that will accrue to Sierra Leone. But sometimes, while four or five committees are sitting on the same day, our two staff can only, together with His Excellency, can only sit on three. So we don't know what will happen when we don't sit on the other three. Decisions are taken, you know, that will impinge on the development of our country. So we are losing. So staffing is a major crucial issue that that embassy is facing. For example, UNESCO sits in Paris, That is, and that embassy is also responsible for the UNESCO. We pay our annual dues to UNESCO, huge sum of money, but we don't have any staff member that will attend the meetings in France, in Paris, for UNESCO. So we are also losing a lot of benefits that will come to us when we sit on the UNESCO debt. The UNESCO debt is perpetually empty in Paris. Because when you go there, remember, you will be there for like a week, and you stay in a hotel, your movements and everything. So it's a big problem. Of course, the issue of financing is also very important. Every bit of service that is rendered should be paid. When it is not paid, the service provider will give you maybe one few weeks' notice, another reminder. The other time, if you don't pay, the bailiffs will come and confiscate. What is happening is that before, the subvention for the embassies will go every 3 months. We were told now that it's going every 6 months. And when it goes every 6 months, you know, the money is not even enough. They are being overtaken. So they are always worried that they will one day, you know, their suppliers, like for stationery, for this, will one day come because the monies are not paid. And when this money is delayed, they take an overdraft, then the huge interest cost is also a problem. So there are a lot of challenges that embassy is facing. So we met and we were fully updated, and even the issue of migration is a big challenge. What do I mean? We have over 3,000 Sierra Leoneans in Brussels. We have over many thousands, you know, in Luxembourg, in Paris, and it's being covered by that mission. Some of them are there legally. But for those who fall foul of the law, maybe they don't have the correct papers, they bring them over, and those who have committed crimes and in prison, they bring them over to the embassy for verification to ensure that they are truly and honestly Sierra Leoneans. They bring them and they verify them. So it is the onus, because under the Vienna Convention and also the Valletta 1 and 2 Conventions, if a country finds your own citizen in that country falling foul of the law, it is the responsibility of the embassy to work with that country to repatriate them. The problem they are facing is sometimes when they want to repatriate them, they don't have the ETCs, the emergency travel certificates. On a few occasions, when they have repatriated them, they come to Lunge, they say they are not Sierra Leoneans. So they take them back to Brussels again. So the Brussels, the people in Belgium are not happy that Sierra Leone is not owning up to their responsibilities under the Vienna Convention of Diplomacy, under the Valletta 1 and 2 Convention of Diplomacy. So the embassy risks at one day being closed. The embassy risks, please, this is serious. The embassy risks one day of being closed. We have Sierra Leoneans who are honestly and genuinely fully resident with valid documents. We risk those Sierra Leoneans stay in that country, because when they are there, the remittances they are sending, you know, is helping their families, is helping, you know, to build their communities and everything. So if this issue continues and they are Sierra Leoneans, they talk to them in their languages, but the immigration here and the Ministry of Internal Affairs is a problem. Foreign Affairs and all of them are a problem. We don't want in future all those Sierra Leoneans that are there living under the law, within the law, you know, when the embassy is closed, you know, to face problems, because then that means all the remittances they send here, some of them, people depend on them here for school fees, for medical, for food, for everything. So we listen very carefully, and we took the onus to say we will report this accordingly to the Pan-African Parliament, to the Sierra Leone Parliament, for the attention of the Parliament in general, but specifically to the Committee on Internal Affairs, the Committee on Education, the Committee on Foreign Affairs, Internal Affairs, because immigration is under Internal Affairs. The Committee on Education for the UNESCO that Sierra Leone is not sitting on, and the Committee on Finance. So we want these four committees, please. We want these four committees to please further meet with their respective ministries for them to give a full brief on why is Sierra Leone not sitting on the UNESCO decks. Why are the subventions not being sent every 3 months? Why are there problems with the repatriation of Sierra Leoneans who are falling foul of the law, thereby jeopardizing the other Sierra Leoneans who are legitimately residents in those countries, and by their residency, they are helping to sponsor their own people here in terms of education, health, and everything. So, Mr. Speaker, these are very serious situations. We are not able to sit on all the committees in the European Union because of shortage of staff. Two staff. Mrs. Bangali is one who is the head of the Chancery, and Mr. Yankuba is the deputy to Mrs. Bangali. Those are the staff, plus HE, professional staff. We have drivers, we have secretaries. Those cannot go and represent Sierra Leone, Mr. Speaker and honorable members. So this is the issue we have brought. They have done well in the sense that they have, the embassy used to share the other apartment with a family that is residing. You cannot share an embassy, you know, with a family for residential play area. But what they have done, they have negotiated with the families, they have moved, and that apartment now is now the full property. The whole house is now the full property of the Sierra Leone Embassy. They are trying to renovate it just in case, you know, they will have more staff and enough space. We were taking on a tour to this building, and they have done very well in that area. But the shortage of the staff is making that we, Sierra Leone, as a country, we are not benefiting because we don't sit on many of those committees that has technical and financial benefits when we sit on it. So this is the appeal, honorable members, we want to make, but especially for those four committees. We want education committee to engage, you know, the UNESCO office here, and also the ministry. They are supposed to send somebody and sit, education attaché or whatever, to sit on that desk. It's not happening. And culture, it's not happening. The internal affairs, we must also interrogate. What is the problem with the issuance of the ETCs? Why, when Sierra Leone repatriates, not many, one or two, why are they refusing them when they have proved beyond doubt that they are Sierra Leoneans? Because when they bring here, they refuse, they take them back to Belgium. Our ambassador is being summoned by the government of Belgium, and they are threatening that one day they will close the embassy, and that will be sad. So we hope that all these four committee members, chairpersons, will take their responsibility and have a meeting with the ministers that have been in charge of this, and let us see how we can fully address this. Honorable Ibrahim Sori is here for a month. He is here for a month. Maybe for those committees, arrange a meeting with Honorable Ibrahim Sori and the requisite minister so that the full story with documentation will be given up to you. We are just bringing this to the attention. He is here for the next 1 month, and we will be grateful if you can, you know, arrange meetings with him for UNESCO, arrange meeting with him for the migration, arrange meeting with him for the finances of that, and arrange meeting with him with the Foreign Affairs Ministry, so that all of these four crucial issues, you know, will be discussed so that amicable solution will become, will be derived from such a meeting. Let us take advantage of his presence here for the next 1 month to see how we can appreciate the problems and how we can really address these challenges. So we want, on behalf of the Sierra Leone Parliament, to thank the embassy for the warm welcome we had and the hospitality, and also we hope that we will, where we can, you know, plead on their behalf so that some of these problems and challenges will be ameliorated. I thank you very much for listening, Mr. Speaker.
Well, honorable member, that's a very important piece of information. I hope the relevant committees will take note. Yes, Kello.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I'm standing on Nexus 23, and this is very much important for the people of this country. Mr. Speaker, you'll agree with me that over the weekend, according to NATCOM mandate, the telecoms providers should give free service to Sierra Leoneans for 3 days. And by my primary schooling, per day is 24 hours, which means by arithmetic, 3 days is 72 hours. But very unfortunately, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, everybody here will agree with me that over the weekend, telecommunication in this country was almost zero. It was almost zero, Mr. Speaker. Instead of giving 24 hours to the people of this country, the telecoms providers opt to give 6 hours. That is, they made their free calls from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. And when you do proportional calculation in relation to that, the money value of that time is 234,000 leones, the money value. And we know by basic principle that if everybody's allowed to call at one time, nobody will end up making a call. So I see it as a deliberate ploy by the telecoms providers to give these free calls at a particular time, and they do it together. Effectively, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, if it should be 72 hours, then the money value equivalent to 72 hours, assuming we call on net throughout, is 2,808,000 leones per Sierra Leonean using any of this network. And honestly, Mr. Speaker, when you listen to radio over the weekend, even marriages were destroyed. Lovers were separated. Businesses were destroyed. No, members, this is very much important. Over the weekend, normally we cannot say it's socially biased, but when you opt to call your loved one and you cannot go through, it has a tendency of misunderstanding, misrepresenting. So for that reason, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I am calling on the committee that I belong, and also for NATCOM to change the form of punishment to this network. Like, for example, instead of giving free calls where nobody will benefit, they should provide the equivalent in money value as stipulated in the Telecoms Act. So in view of that, Mr. Speaker, I'll be looking forward to the committee to ensure that this lost weekend should be like replaced in the form of giving money values to subscribers. I thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Yes,
Speaker, I'm standing in for the chairman and the deputy chairman because I was present when the fines were levied. Some of us were invited. The chairman himself was also invited. The companies were fined 600,000, 200,000, and 400,000. And apart from the physical fines themselves, dollars, gentlemen. The chairman of NATCOM decided that the public should also benefit, and therefore also I still have the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, Honorable Ivy, are you through?
In other words, Mr. Speaker, the free calls were actually an extension of the fine levied by NATCOM, because according to the technical people at NATCOM, some of the operators were not providing best quality services to members of the public. The outcome was that the free calls were put in motion, and we had some difficulties with some of the companies. And I think that we had agreed, I'm sure, Madam Chair, ladies also here, that we would have raised this matter starting today, because our oversight should have started this morning. But the leadership decided that because of the very important nature of legislations at this period, we could delay it until next week. But I want to assure you, after hanging heads with the chairman and the other members of the committee, that during our oversight activities and exercises, this issue will be copiously raised so that we can come back and report to this house. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, Honorable Ivy, with regards to the deferment, no, it's okay. With regards to, sit down, Ivy. With regards to the deferment of the date for your oversight, that was what the leader told you. I'm not unaware of that. But not necessarily, or not principally, because of very important issues that we have to discuss here. According to the letter that I saw written by the clerk of the committee, that after the first successful oversight activity, then this should follow. Honorable Ivy, there is no evidence that the first exercise was successful. There is no evidence. So I will not allow the second one to continue until there is evidence of that.
I clarify. We want to give assurance to Mr. Speaker and to this House that the report on the first exercise will be made available soonest.
Okay.
To allow us to continue.
And I have to see evidence before I can allow this.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yes, JB.
Speaker, I want us to go back to the issue of the workshop or the issue about the food safety bill, the other meeting. Though it's not the business of those our colleague members on that side to know about our, you know, convention on Thursday, but I equally want to say here, if that meeting is going to take place and we shall be going for the convention, let's give it some due consideration. That, you know, part of this, but you know, we are doing this for the whole of Parliament, and if we are not here, you go to that. You go take your deliberations, or you get the opinion of what you'll be debating here in Parliament, we'll be out of it. So it will not be good for us. If he, I want to ask the leader, if he has his chance, maybe he makes a provision that we have it tomorrow. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, Mr. Leader, any reaction?
When the Honorable from both districts has spoken makes a lot of sense to me. Unfortunately, I cannot stand here alone and take that decision, Mr. Speaker. The workshop or meeting is predicated on the people who have come from Brussels, and they are not now at my beck and call. I will have to communicate with them. If it is possible, we'll give you notice for tomorrow. But if it's not possible, if we can find a more convenient day, depending on how long they have to be here, we'll take all those things into consideration. Thank you very much. It's not yes.
But Mr. Leader, Mr. Leader, you want total participation, not so? And I think what the Honorable JB has said does make a lot of sense. So much as you said that these people are not at your beck and call, you are the leader. Now try to contact them. Because I know why Thursday was chosen. You and I know. You and I know, and I'm sure the majority leader knows why Thursday was chosen. But since we are not going to have a sitting on Thursday, if it is tomorrow, Honorable Debbie, it is the mentality of all of us. Normally, perhaps if we want to be very sure of having a successful meeting, some people say it is better to have it on a day when there is sitting. That was why. And it was thought that we are going to have a sitting on Thursday. But since this is not now going to happen, and this meeting is so important, having regard to everything that has been said in relation to that, then if it is tomorrow, let us make every effort to be here tomorrow. So you contact these people now and see whether they will be available. And when that information is sought, make sure it is passed on to members of parliament, please. You can use the chief whip. He's very good at that, in passing such information.
Mr. Speaker, I have noted your comments and your directives. The fact of the matter is that we have other stakeholders and the ministries that are involved in
Yes.
We will do everything
possible. Very important. Okay. Yes, Sule.
Mr. Speaker, the leader and deputy leader wanted me to comment on the Kenyan elections. I represented the AU and the Pan-African Parliament at the elections. As far as the AU, the Carter Center, and the Commonwealth is concerned, elections were free and fair. The problem that I envisioned, we had a pre-election briefing with President Mbeki and the AU. And I said to them, the problem of Kenya has something to do with pre-independence and post-independence. And that has something to do with two families, the Kenyattas and the Odingas. Why can't the leaders of Africa call these two families and solve the problem of Kenya? This was what I said during the briefings. So whatever happened after that, I was proved to be right. The two families have problems in Kenya, the Kenyattas and the Odingas. But we gave them a clean bit of head, and I see similarities coming in Sierra Leone. The director of the data management in NEC in Kenya was murdered 10 days before the elections. In Sierra Leone, we're beginning to see problems with the data. So when the leader and the deputy asked me to comment, I see a pattern coming. So Sierra Leoneans, we should be worried. Parliament should be vigilant. Parliament is already proactive by calling NEC. The data is very important. So if the leadership wanted me to comment, this is what I have to say. It has something to do with technical matters. Not the elections itself, we are free and fair, but it was a technical matter. Thank you.
other honorable members. Well, Honorable Muluku, with respect to you, I know so much about the Odingas and the Kenyattas. I know so much about, you know, the political history of Africa in those days. Some of us are well read in it, I know. But I want to assure you that that has nothing to do with really holding a credible election. It has nothing to do with it. Mind you, and what some people were saying, well, the observers have pronounced the elections as being free and fair. Yes, they did not see anything wrong in the conduct. It was a technicality, that is what you have said. A technicality having regard to the rules. Having regard to the rules. You must follow what the Constitution says. You must follow what the rules say. And for certain things that are happening, it is left with Parliament. Yes, any announcement? Yes, Bintu, you did say you wanted to make an announcement.
Members of the Parliamentary Committee on Finance meet after adjournment in committee room number one.
After adjournment, I would like to see the chairman and the deputy of the Energy Committee in my office. Immediately after adjournment. Yes?
Mr. Speaker, let me just remind you of something you had said. That you are yet to receive the report from the Telecommunications Committee. Why can't they come and talk to you also? Because the business of an incompleted business must be squared out. Otherwise, it's all going to be kit-kit-kat.
No, not to talk to me, to talk to you, to members of Parliament.
Mr. Speaker, they should report to you. You are the highest authority.
No. Let them talk to you.
You better report.
Let them talk to you.
Kit-kit-kat, sorry. No, they will hear you.
Mr. Clerk, so adjournment 19. Action. Honourable members, Parliament, the House is adjourned to the 19th of September 2017 at 10 a.m.